Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji on the call to enlighten us on the topic of glories of Srila Bhakti Vinoda Thakurji and Gritadhara Pandita. Before handing over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to ask Tiffany Mataji to give brief introduction about Prabhuji. Mataji, please take over.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Dr. Keshavanand Prabhuji graduated in the year of 1999 as a medical doctor in India. Prabhuji then took training under a British-born spiritual saint, His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj of the Hare Krishna movement, and chose to live the life of a monk. He took serious study of Sanskrit under various scholars and also spent many years studying science, both modern and Vedic. In the last 20 years, he has been conducting seminars and lectures in various colleges and universities in India, as well as abroad, on various themes. He is an inspiring speaker, a prolific writer, and has published books both in Hindi and English. Some of his books in English are The Cheaters and the Cheated, Secrets of Yoga, Mighty Efforts, Crazy Ideas, and Science Fails to Explain Life. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji.
Don't see Prabhuji on the call, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association with us this morning. Please take over the call, Prabhuji.
Just a minute. Just saying, interface. I should sit like this. Yeah, no. यहाँ पे इट्स नॉट गुड नहीं लेट्स हैव अ लुक लेट मी जस्ट Okay, I think I'm set now. Let me just start now. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Is my voice clear to everybody?
Yes, Prabhupada. Thank you.
Okay. So anyway, I think I'm supposed to speak on Gadadhar Pandit and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's what I'm supposed to speak on. I'll talk about Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a few moments and also Gadadhar Pandit. But let me just begin with today's disappearance. Disappearance to Gadadhar Pandit and I think appearance of disappearance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'm just missing this point. Today is what? Disappearance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Both have disappearance day.
Yeah, both disappearance day.
Yeah.
So the question is why these two personalities have disappeared today, especially together? Is there any connection between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit? That's the question there. So that's a very interesting question. Is there any connection? Of course, you might think, yeah, there's a connection because we are all devotees of God, Gadadhar, so there has to be a connection. But there's a more deeper connection in between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit. First of all, Gadadhar Pandit is a very important personality in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, as well as Bhaktivinoda Thakur also. They both carry a very unique place in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and I'll explain this in a few moments. But Gadadhar Pandit is a personality who is glorified by many stalwart devotees, by the way. And one of the stalwart devotees, none other than Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami has glorified Gadadhar Pandit. That's a very, very important fact. Swarup Damodar Goswami has written a song, Gadadhar Ashtakam, which is quite famous. And in that Gadadhar Ashtakam, Swarup Damodar Goswami glorifies Gadadhar Pandit. And he says, he calls Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Gadadhar Prananath. Interesting. Swarup Damodar says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is life and soul of Gadadhar Pandit. Now, when this glorification comes from Swarup Damodar Goswami, it's a very important point, because Swarup Damodar Goswami is a person who doesn't glorify people so quickly. Swarup Damodar Goswami is a person who doesn't glorify devotees so readily. We see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Swarup Damodar Goswami doesn't even glorify Rupa Goswami so readily. That's quite interesting. I don't say that Swarup Damodar Goswami didn't have appreciation for Rupa Goswami, but he didn't really glorify. When the point came to glorify Rupa Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami simply said, Mahaprabhu, it is your mercy that Rupa can say such things. We know that past time when Rupa Goswami, when Mahaprabhu once came to the place where Rupa Goswami was living in the hut in Jagannath Puri. Rupa Goswami happened to visit Jagannath Puri and he was living with Haridas Thakur. So Rupa Goswami was staying in the hut. And Rupa Goswami wrote a verse which actually, that verse was describing the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in front of Jagannath. And we know when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in front of Jagannath in Jagannath Yatra, he was actually reciting a very obscure verse which nobody could understand except Swarup Damodar. And that verse, so why nobody could understand? Because that verse was a very, so that verse was almost like a film song. Mahaprabhu is singing a film song. That verse was from a poem, from a kavya, and a mundane kavya. That verse is from that mundane poetic word. And that verse says in summary that I have met you on the banks of Ketaki, means on the bank of Narmada River, but I am not very happy. But by now I'm meeting you, I'm feeling bliss, and so. So people were saying, what happened to Mahaprabhu? Mahaprabhu is singing songs of lovers and like Romeo and Juliet and like this. What's happening? Nobody could understand. But people thought, well, when Mahaprabhu is singing, there has to be something devotional. So, well, people just left it there. Swarup Damodar could understand. So when Rupa Goswami, when Mahaprabhu came to visit Rupa Goswami with Swarup Damodar Goswami in his house in Jagannath Puri, where he was living in the hut near Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami happened to go to take bath in ocean. And Mahaprabhu took out a small leaf from the roof. He took out the leaf, he saw the verse. That verse was written by Rupa Goswami. And he was very angry. So then suddenly Rupa Goswami arrived after taking the bath. And Rupa Goswami did dandavat. He stood up and Mahaprabhu just slapped him. But he slapped him lovingly. And he said, Rupa, how did you understand the inner meanings of my mood? How did you understand what I was thinking in front of Jagannath Ji in Jagannath Rath Yatra? Nobody could understand. How you can understand? So Rupa Goswami wrote that verse. Rupa Goswami explained, Mahaprabhu was not singing mundane songs about lover and beloved. That was not the point. Mahaprabhu was singing that about the meeting of Radha with Krishna in Kurukshetra. When Radha and Krishna meets in Kurukshetra, how they feel. But because Chaitanya didn't want it to actually reveal his mood and his feelings, that's why he spoke in a very indirect way, in the form of mundane poetry. That's what he did. And Rupa Goswami wrote that verse. Mahaprabhu was so happy. Externally, he was angry, but he was happy. So he said, Rupa, how did you understand my heart? And Swarup Damodar was standing nearby. And Swarup Damodar Goswami, he said, he didn't really glorify Rupa Goswami. He said, oh, Rupa Goswami is great. He has understood your mood. He simply told Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu, he has understood this because you have revealed the meaning to him. You see the point? He didn't really glorify Rupa Goswami directly. He said, because you have revealed, he has understood. That's all. At other time, when Rupa Goswami, in Jagannath Puri, when Rupa Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with Ramanand Rai, Swarup Damodar, Swarup Bhattacharya in Haridas Thakur's place. And Mahaprabhu said, Rupa, are you writing some play? Rupa said, yes, I've written a play, Lalit Madhav and Vidag Madhav. He has written two plays. So Mahaprabhu said, okay, read something from them. Read some content. Lalit Madhav, Vidag Madhav. These two works of Rupa Goswami are very important for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Besides his main book, Nectar of Devotion, Lalit Madhav, Vidag Madhav also helps us to understand what is the mood of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So Mahaprabhu said, okay, read from these books. No problem. So Rupa Goswami read some verses, and Ramanand Rai was actually examining him, asking some questions. What is introductory verse? Tell me. What is end verse? What is the main verse? Rupa Goswami was saying it. And they were praising. Swarup Bhattacharya was praising. And then Swarup Damodar said, Mahaprabhu. So everybody was praising. And Swarup Damodar said to Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu, it is because of your mercy that these facts are revealed to me. Again. So Swarup Damodar Goswami is not a person who will glorify people left and right, you know, and then all. His temperament is not like that. Because we know in Mahaprabhu's Lila Swarup Damodar Goswami in Krishna Lila Swarup Damodar Goswami is Lalita Sakhi. We know that. Incarnation of Lalita Sakhi. From God Gunadesh Deepika of Gopikan Pundas, his identity is revealed as Lalita Sakhi. And Lalita Sakhi is a very critical person in Goloka. She's very critical. She analyzes everything. She doesn't praise readily. So on the contrary, she's ready to criticize people. So Swarup Damodar was like that. For the service of Krishna, that's another thing. So why I'm making this point? Because this same Swarup Damodar Goswami, he has praised Gadadhar Pandit. He has praised Gadadhar Pandit. And not only praised, he has written an ashtakam on Gadadhar Pandit. Swarup Damodar Goswami has never written any glorification about any Vaishnava. We don't find any record. He might have written something, but not find any record. But here he has written a Gadadhar ashtakam. You can find on net. Or Saturn. And then Gadadhar ashtakam, Swarup Damodar Goswami reveals the identity of Gadadhar Pandit. And he says, Gadadhar Pandit is none other than Srimati Radharani. Gadadhar Pandit is none other than the goddess of fortune of Vrindavan. Lakshmi of Vrindavan, Radharani, Mahalakshmi was incarnated in the pastime of Gadadhar, Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu belongs to Gadadhar Pandit. Swarup Damodar writes. That is the importance of Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit is so important that Bhakti Vinod Thakur, now this is a connection between Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit. Bhakti Vinod Thakur has written glorifications about Gadadhar Pandit. Bhakti Vinod Thakur has written a song the song's name is Bhaja Godhruma Ganan Kunja Vibhum. This is a song about Godhruma Ganan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to do bhajan in his house, Swanand Sugdha Kunj. Named his house Swanand Sugdha Kunj, which he built in Godhrumdi. Today we can go. And there he installed the deities of Gaur Gadadhar. That's very interesting. Gaur Gadadhar it is. Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't install Gaur Nityananda. Installed Gaur Gadadhar. He also installed in few of the temples, Gaur Gadadhar. So Mayapur, there is a place Champahati. So we know Champahati, no? Yeah. So there also we have Gaur Gadadhar deities, which was actually installed by Gaudiya Math Bhakti Chandra Saraswati Thakur. Gaur Gadadhar. So and few other places Bhaktivinoda Thakur installed Gaur Gadadhar, and he wrote this song on Gadadhar Pandit. He wrote few other songs on Gaur Gadadhar, and he wrote in those songs that my life and soul is to worship Gaur Gadadhar. In fact, the Gaur Aarti we sing. Gaur Aarti is revealed by whom? Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What's the last line of Gaur Aarti? Yeah, Bhakti Vinod Deke something. So is it? So in that Bhaktivinoda Thakur reveals to his Gadadhar. He says, so generally in ISKCON we don't sing that verse, but if you see the original song, one verse comes in that Gaur Aarti. Pandit Gaurangira Nija Shakti Pandit Gadadhar. That verse is omitted in our ISKCON Aartis for a good reason, because this is very, very secret and intimate relationship between Gaur Gadadhar. The relationship between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit is also misinterpreted by many Sahajya sects as, some Sahajya sects say that Gaur Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit, they were homos. I know it's crazy. I can't even tell this. Both are males, but they loved each other, but they were in Madhurya Bhav with each other. Or maybe some Sahajya sect says because Mahaprabhu is Krishna, he's Radha. So there was a relationship of Madhurya Bhav between Gadadhar Pandit and Gauranga Mahaprabhu. But that's absolutely absurd. Gadadhar Pandit had a mood of Dasya to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Gadadhar Pandit, he is Radharani, but his mood is captured by Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The mood of Radharani is with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani without any mood. He is empty. He is simply a shadow of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, just following Gauranga Mahaprabhu. In fact, Gadadhar Pandit is the only person in entire Mahaprabhu Leela who stayed with him right from the first day to the last day, till the end of past times. Nityananda Prabhu, he didn't stay with Mahaprabhu. Nityananda Prabhu was in fact not there when Mahaprabhu was enacting Bala Leela. He came late. And also when Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, Nityananda Prabhu went back to Bengal to preach. Nari Sarkar Thakur, he was only in Navadvip Leela, although he was very intimate to Mahaprabhu's Leela. And who else? Ramanand Rai Swarup Damodar, they only met Mahaprabhu when Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri. They were not there in Navadvip Leela. Swarup Damodar was actually in Navadvip Leela. Swarup Damodar is second person who actually was with Mahaprabhu always. Because in Navadvip, Swarup Damodar's original name is Purushottam Acharya. He was there in Navadvip Leela, but in Navadvip he was not so intimately connected with Mahaprabhu. We know that. As Gadadhar Pandit was. Very intimately connected with Mahaprabhu. So yeah, so you can say two people are always there with Mahaprabhu. Swarup Damodar and Gadadhar Pandit. But Swarup Damodar, when Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Swarup Damodar went to Kashi to took sannyas. So Swarup Damodar just left. Mahaprabhu left Swarup Damodar. He didn't inform Swarup Damodar, I'm going. So Swarup Damodar became very angry. He went to Kashi. In his anger, he took Mayavad sannyas. He said, this is nonsense. I am going to take Mayavad sannyas. Just to actually torture himself. You see the point? He took sannyas. Surur Damodar. So he was not there. Surur Damodar was not there when Mahaprabhu was traveling between from Navdeep to Jagannath Puri. But Gadadhar Pandit was there. So he is a person who is always with Mahaprabhu, except when Mahaprabhu went for preaching for South India tour. He didn't take Gadadhar Pandit because Gadadhar Pandit took Kshetra Sannyas. Gadadhar Pandit had taken Kshetra Sannyas in Jagannath Puri. So he couldn't leave Jagannath Puri. So Mahaprabhu said, well, I'm going to South India preaching, but you can't come because you have taken Kshetra Sannyas. Kshetra Sannyas means you cannot leave that Kshetra. You cannot leave that place because you have taken a vow not to leave that place. So suppose you become sick and there's no hospital, you must die. You can't go to the hospital in neighboring state. That's Kshetra Sannyas. So Mahaprabhu said, well, I'm going to South India tour, so you can't come. We have taken Kshetra Sannyas, your vow will be broken. So at that time, and in fact, when Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan, that time also Gadadhar Pandit didn't go. But rest of the time, he was there with him. So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Gauringira Nija Shakti Pandit Gadadhar. In fact, I told that generally we don't call, we don't name Gadadhar as Gadadhar Pandit. We name him as Pandit Gadadhar. We name him. Because there is another Gadadhar, Das Gadadhar. Das Gadadhar was eternal associate of, is eternal associate of Nityananda Prabhu. His home is near Calcutta. There is a village which is known as Aryadagram. Prabhupada mentions Aryadagram. If you go there today, you will find beautiful deities of God Gadadhar. Was actually not Gadadhar, but God Nityananda, because he is associate of Nityananda Prabhu, and also Janava Devi. Beautiful deities. Associates of Nityananda Prabhu used to keep God Nitaya. Associates of Mahaprabhu used to keep God Gadadhar. That's how we know who is associate of Nityananda Prabhu and who is associate of Mahaprabhu, like that. So Das Gadadhar is living in Aryadagram. Actually was living in Aryadagram. Beautiful place. And Pandit Gadadhar, he was living in Navdeep with Mahaprabhu, and then he went to Jagannath. So like that. So Pandit Gadadhar, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he not only praised, he not only composed songs on Gaur Gadadhar, he also installed deities of Gaur Gadadhar. In fact, at his place, Godrum Dweep, which is most important place of his bhajan, he installed that. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, following Bhaktivinoda Thakur's footsteps, he installed Gaur Gadadhar deities in all his Gaudiya Math. Bhaktisiddhanta didn't install Gaur Gadadhar. It's Gaur Gadadhar. Because we are in the line of worshipping Gaur Gadadhar. So that's the connection between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a person who has revealed to us the worship of Gaur Gadadhar. Before Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there was no clear-cut conception of worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is one more song. There is something called as Gaura Smaran Mangal Stotra, where eightfold pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given. Ashtkali Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ashtkali Leela. So just like we have Ashtkali Leela of Krishna. So Ashtkali Leela means, Ashtkali Leela means what Krishna is doing in Golok 24 hours. So there is something called as Ashtkali Leela of Mahaprabhu. What Mahaprabhu is doing 24 hours in spiritual world, in Navdeep, spiritual world. So this Gaurang Smaran Mangal Sotra was written by one devotee, Krishnadas Brahmachari of Vrindavan. This is not Krishnadas Kaviraj, Krishnadas Brahmachari of Vrindavan. He was quite famous at that time. His samadhi is in Radha Damodar Mandir with Jiva Goswami. Radha Damodar Mandir is samadhi of Jiva Goswami, and then there is samadhi of Krishnadas Brahmachari. So he was well known in Vrindavan. He wrote this. It's famous. It's there, out there. On that you can find. And there he is describing the pastimes of Mahaprabhu with Gadadhar Pandit. So Gaudiya Vaishnavs like to think like to remember Mahaprabhu with Gada Dharpan. That's our system, traditional Gaudiya Vaishnava system. Prabhupada didn't install Gaur Gadadhar, he installed Gaur Nitai, because Prabhupada says this is preaching movement, we need mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. But traditionally, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, especially who are coming in Bhakti Vinod Dhara, we are coming in Bhakti Vinod Dhara, we worship Gaur Gadadhar. But that is some internal worship. External worship is Gaur Nitai, internal worship is Gaur Gadadhar. That's how, that's the connection between Bhakti and Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit. Another connection between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh, in fact, actually Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah. At the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written a commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita. I forgot the name of commentary. I think the commentary's name is Anubritti, I think. Vibritti, what's that commentary? Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's a commentary by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Prabhupada has written, Prabhupada has taken almost verbatim from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary, Chaitanya Charitamrita's commentary. It's same what Bhakti Siddhanta has written. So Bhakti Siddhanta writes at the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita commentary. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, that I can see Gadadhar Pandit in Bhakti Vinod Thakur. What about that? He says Bhakti Vinod Thakur is none other than Gadadhar Pandit. In fact, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, who was one of the stalwart devotees of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of the stalwart devotees, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj was such an important personality that Bhakti Siddhanta, when he was ending his pastime, he called Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj specially to sing Sri Rupa Manjari Pata for him. So when he was lying down, so some other brahmachari was singing Sri Rupa. Bhakti Siddhanta expressed his desire, please sing Sri Rupa Manjari Pata. So some brahmachari started singing. So Bhakti Siddhanta said, stop him. I don't want to hear music. I want to hear devotion. Call Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar. Swami, he came and he was very knowledgeable. In the entire Gaudiya Math, he was known for his philosophy. In fact, he was Shiksha Guru of Prabhupada. We know that Prabhupada himself said that he was Shiksha Guru. Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar said, therefore, Swami. So Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Swami said that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that Swarup Damodar again came in Gaurang Mahaprabhu's pastimes as Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. You can imagine. Swarup Damodar, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji is Swarup Damodar Goswami. And Gadadhar Pandit again came as Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So both are intimate to Mahaprabhu. Swarup Damodar is personal secretary of Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit is personal energy, Shakti of Mahaprabhu. Both of them came again to establish Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta in this material world. So that's another connection with Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit. How Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, Bhakti Siddhanta could see that. Nobody could see. Nobody could understand what is Bhaktivinoda, who is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. People thought Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Kedar Nath Dutt, a magistrate with 11 children. And writing something on Gaudiya Vaishnavism, preaching, that's okay. Writing some songs. Every Bengali can write some songs, isn't it? People could understand. Bhakti Siddhanta saw that he is none other than Gadadhar Pandit. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, when I chant holy names, and when I chant and raise my neck a little bit, I can see the lotus feet of Radharani at the feet of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. I can see Bhakti Vinod Thakur's lotus feet is non-different from lotus feet of Radharani. You can see. I just raise my neck a little bit and see on the other side in the spiritual world. I can see Bhakti Vinod Thakur's lotus feet as Radharani's lotus feet. Non-different. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, he openly expressed, Bhakti Vinod Thakur is none other than Gadadhar Pandit. You can imagine. So that's the importance of Gadadhar Pandit and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, both of them disappearing today. There's a very intimate connection between both of them. If Bhaktivinoda Thakur would not have been there, the worship of God Gadadhar would not have been revealed to us. Even if it would have been in a very, very sahajya type devotion, not really a proper understanding of how to approach Gadadhar, how to worship Gadadhar in proper mood, it would not have been there properly. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written one book, Bhajan Rahasya. In that Bhajan Rahasya, that book is divided into two parts. One is external worship, one is internal worship. And the internal worship, he's writing how to worship Gadadhar, in what mood. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has done a great work on worship of Gadadhar. And that's why Bhakti Santa could take that mood and then promote it in Gaudiya Vaishnava Samaj. Although we don't talk about it much externally, but that should not be talked about externally. So it's almost like talking about Ras Lila of Radha Krishna publicly. We don't talk. This is a very secret thing. We keep it. It's revealed to sincere devotees who are pure, who are fortunate, how to worship God. Until that time, we worship God. That's how it goes, which Prabhupada told us. So that's another connection, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit. So one connection is Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed to us for Gadadhar's worship, wrote many songs, and also installed many deities. And another connection is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Gadadhar Pandit incarnation, which is mentioned by Bhakti Siddhanta and Chaitanya Charitamrita almost in the last part. So this is about connection between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit. Now, having said that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur installed one of his first deities for God Gadadhar in Swanand Sundar Kunj. That's also not by chance. Although Navdeep Mayapur, in Navdeep Mayapur, there were many, many Gaudiya Vaishnavas of Nityanand Parivar, Advait Parivar, Gadadhar Kul also there were. There's something called Gadadhar Kul, who actually worshipped Gadadhar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur establishing deities of Gadadhar, that's very interesting, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Diksha Guru is Bipin Bihari Goswami. And Bipin Bihari Goswami, at least externally, he's a guru. Bipin Bihari Goswami, he belongs to the family of Nityanand Parivar, of Jahanava Devi. And Nityanand Parivar people, they worship Gadadhar, they don't worship Gadadhar. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur worshipping Gadadhar, that was very odd in the eyes of other devotees present in Godmandal, because they were saying, see, he belongs to Nityanand Parivar, he should worship God Nityanand, but he's worshiping God Gadadhar. So he's getting deviated from Nityanand Parivar to Gadadhar Parivar. So some people actually criticize Bhaktivinoda Thakur for this. But Bhakti Sandha understood that Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't belong to Nityanand Parivar, or his guru is not Bipin Bihari Goswami. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given a favor by accepting Bipin Bihari Goswami as his guru. This Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur understood. And in fact, even if you think that Bhaktivinoda Thakur belonged to Nityanand Parivar, belong to Nityanand Parivar means you are in Sakhya, isn't it? Belonging to Gadadhar Kul, that means you are in Madhurya. So some people said, well, he switched from Sakhya Bhav to Madhurya Bhav. But that's crazy. But even if that's true, it is possible, because we know in Mahaprabhu's Leela, many devotees switched their rasas. Shravanand Pandit, he switched his rasa from Sakhya Bhav to Madhurava, Shamanand Pandit's guru was Hridaya Chaitanya Das. Hridaya Chaitanya Das' guru was Gauridas Pandit, who are in Sakhi. But then he became disciple of, but then he switched to Madhurava, Gopi Bhav. We all know that Radharani's pastime. And that's possible. Many devotees, they although they belong to Nityananda Parivar, but they took initiation from Gadadhar Parivar. Or many devotees who belong to Advaita Parivar, they actually came to Gadadhar Kul. Just like classical example from Advaita Parivar is actually Achyutanand. Achyutanand, he is son of Advaita Acharya, but he took initiation from Gadadhar Pandit. Because he was in Gopi Bhav. He was not in Dasya Bhav. The servants of the Parshadas of Advaita Acharya are in Dasya Bhav to Mahaprabhu. Parshadas of Nityananda Prabhu are in Sakya Bhav to Mahaprabhu. The Parshadas, associates of Gadadhar Pandit, are in Madhya Bhav with Mahaprabhu. But Advaita Acharya's son, although he belonged to Advaita Parivar, he took initiation from Gadadhar Kul. He worshipped Gadadhar. So it's not surprising, it's not like criticizing Bhakti or Thakur. They could actually, all these devotees, so-called devotees of God Mandal, they couldn't understand who was Bhakti or Thakur, they couldn't understand what Bhakti or Thakur is doing here. They just thought he's writing some books and that's it. But actually, as I told, one of the greatest contribution of Bhakti or Thakur was not just writing books, but was actually editing books of Goswamis and Krishnadas and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya, when Bhakti Thakur came, Chaitanya Charitamrita was not there. Now you might say Chaitanya Charitamrita was not there, what's happening? Chaitanya Charitamrita was there, but then there were many copies of Chaitanya Charitamrita. There were so many copies of Chaitanya Charitamrita that it was very difficult to identify a bona fide copy. In fact, I've seen many non-bona fide copies of Chaitanya Charitamrita. I saw one copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita where it was mentioned that in Jagannath, I saw one copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita where it's mentioned that in Jagannath Puri, Kashi Mishra was actually serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with Nayan Anand Goswami. Isn't it Nayan Anand? Was it Gadadhar Pandit's nephew? Vaninath's son? So Kashi Mishra was serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with Nayanand Goswami. Now, when I read that, I saw one word, it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But then I checked our Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have in ISKCON, which is edited by Bhakti Thakur. It says that in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu was being served by Kashi Mishra and Ramanand Rai, not Nayanand. Now this Nayanand Goswami, I think it was Nayanand, he was Gadadhar Pandit's younger brother Vaninath. Gadadhar Pandit's younger brother is Vaninath. And Vaninath's son is Nayanand. Rubilas, who is Vaninath's son? Anyway, Gadadhar Pandit ke chote bhai ka naam kya hai? Vaninath. और उनके बच्चे का नाम क्या है? नाम सो एनीवे या सो सो गदाधर पंडित यंगर ब्रदर वाणीनाथ ही हैड अ सन नयनानंद एंड ही वाज नॉट देयर जगन्नाथ पुरी वी नो सो दैट्स रॉन्ग सो भक्ति ठाकुर एडिटेड इट एंड ही फाउंड दैट एक्चुअली दैट्स नॉट नयनानंद दैट्स रामानंद राय. So that's another connection with Bhakti Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit. That verse says that Mahaprabhu was being served by Gadadhar Pandit's nephew, Nayanand. That's absolutely wrong. Nayanand was staying in Bengal, we know. We know Nayanand visited Jagannath Puri, but he didn't stay there. He was staying in Bengal in a village called as Bharatpur. Gadadhar Pandit belonged to a village called as Bharatpur. It's still there. You can go to Bharatpur. So you can catch a bus from Navdeep to Krishnanagar. From Krishnanagar, you can catch a bus to Jhamatpur, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's village, or you can go by train to Jhamatpur. From Jhamatpur, you catch a bus to the village of Gyandas. And from there you catch a bus to Bharatpur, which is actually Murshidabad district in Bengal. You go there, there's still you have house of Gadadhar Pandit. And there, if you ask those local Goswamis, they will show you Gita, on which Mahaprabhu wrote a verse in his own handwriting. That Gita belonged to Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit gave that Gita to his younger brother Vaninath. And he came to Bengal back, and then he passed on this Gita to his nephew Nayanand. It's still there, Mahaprabhu's handwriting. In writing, he wrote that verse in Gita. So that's another connection with Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit. Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew everything about Gadadhar Pandit. He could really edit that. He could really edit Chaitanya Charitamrita properly. He gave us the bona fide Chaitanya Charitamrita. Without Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they were having no bona fide Chaitanya Charitamrita. The role what Gadadhar Pandit played, you see, Gadadhar Pandit in Mahaprabhu's Leela didn't play much role in preaching, isn't it? He was quite silent. He was staying in Jagannath Puri and he was there in Tota Gopinath. Mahaprabhu used to meet him, and that's it. At least explicitly, he didn't play any much role, Pandit Gadadhar. But as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he preached. He again revived Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought this edited Chaitanya Charitamrita back, bona fide Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote many songs, I told. This contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote many songs in Bengali. We know his three main books, actually four main books. He wrote many songs and he composed books on that songs because he liked to write systematic songs. So he wrote one book which is called a Sharanagati. Sharanagati he wrote book. And then he wrote book Gitamala. He wrote book Gitavali. And he wrote books Kalyan Kalpacharu. These are four song books he wrote. Kalyan Kalpacharu, Gitavali, Gitamala, Sharanagati. And so what are these books? These books are whatever our acharyas wrote in Sanskrit. Jiva Goswami wrote Sandarbhas, Vishwan Thakur wrote commentary on Bhagavatam, Vriyat Bhagavatam written by Sanatan Goswami. Bhaktivinoda Thakur took all those books, read all those books in Sanskrit, made them into songs and published them so that common people can sing these songs. Common people don't understand Sanskrit, common people don't understand complex philosophy. So they can sing these songs and they can imbibe all the philosophy without any problem, just by singing. So today, if you go in God Mandal, everybody sings Bhaktivinoda Thakur songs. His songs became so famous. And in the process, everybody can understand very complex philosophy written in Sanskrit by acharyas like this. So what Tulsidas did in Bihar, he wrote Ramcharitmanas in Swing of the language, simple language. So because of that, Ramayana became so famous in Bihar UP, isn't it? Today, if Tulsidas would not have been there, Ram Bhakti would have been like out. Because Valmiki Ramayana, if you go in Bihar and UP today, nobody reads Valmiki Ramayana, nobody even knows Valmiki Ramayana, because Valmiki Ramayana is written in Sanskrit. Tulsidas, he made famous Ramayana in ordinary language. So I don't say that Tulsidas Ramcharitmanas is bona fide. That's another thing. That's another issue. But what I'm saying is that anything written in local language, it becomes really famous. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did this. Before Bhaktivinoda Thakur, no acharya wrote in Bengali. All the acharyas wrote in Sanskrit. Vishwan Chakri Thakur, Baldev Vibhushan, Jiva Goswami, except Narottam Das Thakur, he wrote small book on Bengali, Prem Bhakti Chandrika, Prathna. Two small books in Bengali, songs. That's all he wrote. That's the stuff we had in Bengali. Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought in Bengal, all the scriptures in Bengali he brought. He just wrote in Bengali profusely. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote 200 books. Jab Dharma in Bengali, these songs written in Bengali, almost all his books are in Bengali, except few books in Sanskrit. The books he wrote in Sanskrit, like Dat Kostubam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a book, Dat Kostubam, which devotees might not be knowing. He wrote in Sanskrit, but he then wrote a, he wrote a Bengali commentary on it. That's quite interesting. He brought the works of Goswamis in Bengali. That's what he did. In its true spirit. And he fought the third contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur through his works. He fought with the Sahijyas and Apasamprata, who actually destroyed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement by bringing stupid, useless nonsense and actually vulgar philosophy. All these Apasamprata people, Sakhi Veki, Gaurang Nagari, Bhaktivinoda Thakur identified them, wrote about them, and through his songs, he smashed their philosophy. That's another contribution, big contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Before Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the situation was so messed up that in Jagannath Puri temple, they were worshipping Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra, and there was a dog installed on the altar of Jagannath temple. There was a dog along with Jagannath who was being worshipped. Because they used to think this dog has special powers and he should be worshipped with Jagannath. Bhaktivinoda Thakur came, he said, "You nonsense rascal people." He was magistrate, so he said, "Just get this dog out." That's the point, is that's the state what people thought, you know, what is devotion? Mahaprabhu was simply, Chaitanya Prabhu was simply an emotional person who was singing some in ecstasy, something weird philosophy they had. Chaitanya Prabhu is Krishna, I am Radha, he is Radha, I am Krishna. A weird philosophy. Chaitanya Prabhu was homosexual with Gadadhar Pandit, so we should also be homosexuals. It was really messed up, really vulgar. What Mahaprabhu gave his philosophy with absolute purity, and these people made from Mahaprabhu's philosophy in absolute impurity. That's what they did. Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and he fought with them. He wrote his books, he published, and he established pure Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. That was his contribution. It's very difficult to change the whole direction of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, right? And especially the Sampradaya has gone in the wrong direction. It's not a small job. Without Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there would have been no Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That is foremost contribution. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave us Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. By his prayers, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what he did, he took the books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and he spread it. He preached about them. And he distributed it widely. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he didn't write anything on his own. His lectures was translated by Sundaran Vidyavinod in magazines. But his whole endeavor was to actually print and publish books written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and then distribute it. Another contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was to write in English. And in a modern scientific language, in a modern philosophical language, so that modern people could understand, modern youths and Britishers could understand. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur not only bridged a gap between Bengali and Sanskrit, not only brought the message from Sanskrit to Bengali, but he brought the message from Sanskrit to English. So he formed a bridge between Bengal and Sanskrit. And also he formed a bridge between modern world and traditional world by preaching in English. He did that. At that time, knowing English was a very big thing, isn't it? 200 years back, or approximately 150 years back. He was a magistrate, he knew English. It was a very big thing to speak in English at that time, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time. He could write in English. And if you read in English, it's very nice. And he was not only a writer, he was an editor, he was a publisher. He was doing himself. Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Thakur used to actually assist Bhaktivinoda Thakur in writing, printing, publishing, editing. He learned everything from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So that is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's contribution and his link between Gadadhar Pandit and him. Rest of the information about Gadadhar Pandit you can read on net. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you can read on net. But what I've focused on in this lecture is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's contribution and especially his relationship with Gadadhar Pandit. That's what I have focused on in this lecture. Hare Krishna. Gadadhar Pandit ki jai. Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. So, is there any questions? I'll just end up here. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving such a valuable time and such a really scary to know that relations, how they people with poor knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yeah, it represents Kali Yuga so first. Thank you, Prabhuji. And if devotees, anyone have any questions, please. Yeah. Anuradha Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
Anuradha means Lalita. Anuradha means Lalita. Lalita Sakhi is Saru Damodar.
Oh,
that's a nice name.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the wonderful, so much to learn from. So, Prabhu, the two questions I have. The first one is, you said that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur could see Gadadhar Pandit in Bhakti Vinod Thakur, right? Mm-hmm. So, but in spiritual life, they have their own existence, isn't it, Prabhu?
No, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, it seemed he was an expansion of Gadadhar Pandit.
Okay.
Like that. Although they have different existence, but one person can be expansion of another person. Like for example, Das Gadadhar.
Yeah.
He is expansion of Pandit Gadadhar. Pandit Gadadhar is Radharani. Das Gadadhar is the effulgence of Radha.
Okay.
So, but at the same time, in spiritual world, Radharani also exists. An effulgence of Radharani also exists as a gopi. And I forgot which. Chandrakanti. So Das Gadadhar Chandrakanti. Chandrakanti. So Das Gadadhar was actually incarnation of Chandrakanti. Through Chandrakanti, she is effulgence of Radharani in spiritual world. Now how effulgence of Radharani is a different personality, we can't understand.
Okay.
But yet effulgence and effulgence and the personality is same, isn't it? Shakti, Shakti. If my effulgence is same from me, it's not different, but still. So like that. So it seems that Gadadhar Pandit's expansion is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he has also his different identity, because in spiritual world, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that he is actually Anang Manjari, who is expansion of Radharani. But exactly how it works, nobody can understand.
Okay.
Achinte Bheda Bhed, like that.
So, and my next question is, Prabhu, not sure how I will put it across. It's like you said that, you know, different people, these acharyas, they have different moods, like some got transition from Sakya to Madhurya and things like that, and accordingly. So for sadhakas, especially neophyte like me, when we take initiation, we take initiation in general, like we do not have the knowledge of understanding what mood we are in and what mood our gurus are. So that is way beyond. And if we keep waiting, I'm talking for myself, we would have never got initiated at all. So how is it applicable to us currently? Did I put the question properly?
Well, it's applicable to us. Bhakti Santosh Thakur used to say, Pujala Ragapat Kaurava Bhange. He used to say that you worship that platform. So how it works for us is, we have to understand our goal. We have to understand all these things. We should know at least all these things. We should not be unaware of all these things. But at the same time, we should not try to enter these things because you're not qualified for that. These things have to be revealed. But these things will be revealed if we know it. If we know it already. So as a goal. So we try to understand this as a goal, but we don't try to imbibe these things. Okay, so now what's the mood of a guru and what's my mood in Mahabharata Sakhe or Gopi Bhav? We don't do like that. Our acharyas don't recommend like that. We follow the process, simple chanting and regulative principles, and read and make pure. When we become pure, these things will be revealed to us. And when these things will be revealed to us, and because we already know it as a goal, then both things will match. And then we'll be confirmed, okay, yeah, I heard this, and now it's revealed to me. And then you get entrance into actually all these discussions of mood of God, Gadadhar, and all these things. So we should know these things as a goal, which is actually discussed by Prabhupada also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can read that. But at the same time, entrance into this mood will be given by Krishna when we become pure. And that will be revealed internally by actually revelation. So it's almost like, you see, so it's almost like we are soul, we are not this body. We should know it. But at the same time, none of us has any realization that we are a soul, we are not this body. We know theoretically, we have some realization, but we have not seen ourselves separate from body. None of us has seen separate from body ourselves. So what to do? We follow the process, and slowly it will be revealed to us that I am separate from this body. And when it is revealed to us, because we have already read it, we get confirmation. And then we actually keep this realization. Because the problem is, now you might say, well, so why to know all these things? Well, this, if this is so high thing, why to know all these things? It will be revealed at its own time, isn't it? But the problem with that is, if it will be, because the problem with this is, when these things will be revealed in your heart, if you don't know these things already, so there can be two problems. First is, you will not come to know whether these realizations are true or false. You will not come to know. So you will not be convinced within yourself. And then you will lose these realizations, because if you're not convinced of some realizations, you will lose it, because then Maya will start working and she will start confusing you. So the whole point is, you will not be able to keep it. And if you can't keep a realization, then you don't advance. So that is the whole point. Some people try to know all these things and try to indulge into this before they become pure. Those are sahijyas. Some people say, oh, these are very high topics. I don't want to even hear about this. No. Gaur Gadadhar, who wants to hear? You don't want to hear all these things. But at the same time, if you don't know, and if you are practicing, and then suppose you become pure, and then something is revealed within your heart, Maya will start confusing you, and then you will not be able to understand what's the proper direction, whether these realizations I should keep or not keep. Then you have to confirm it later, and confirming it later is difficult. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained all these things like this. I think that's the answer to your question, is it? Okay.
Totally, Prabhu. More than answering the question, that's so beautiful points you have given, Prabhu. So basically, I just want to confirm. So whatever mood our guru is in, and whatever mood we are in, we continue our sadhana bhakti. And as and when it reveals, we have the information in hand, we can confirm, cross-verify that this is what authentic or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. More than you have given, more than I asked for. Thank you, Prabhu. Dhanyavad Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Vrindavanataji, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Ji, Keshavananda, Prabhu, Koti Koti Dhanyavad Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Shri Radha Gopinath Ji. Thank you, Prabhuji. I don't have any question, but every time I want to share that your class is inspiring all of us so much. Sometimes we are not knowing some stories and some lilas like Gaur Gadadhar temple, and you explained so nicely about Gadadhara, Srimati Shri Radha Rani's lilas and Prabhuji, it is so many things, Prabhuji. We hear one time, but we forget because of our because maybe our lack of knowledge. But you explained so deeply, Prabhuji. It's touched to all Bhakti Sangha Mataji's heart. Koti Koti Dhanyavad Pranam.
Thank you for that. Gurudev, thank you. You're from India?
Yes, Prabhuji, from Mumbai, Shishi Radha
Gopinath. From Mumbai, yeah. That's, I guess, yeah, okay, nice. Okay, so.
Are there any more questions for Prabhuji?
Yeah, I talked so many things and so many funny things also, but that's all history. If you do research, it's all historical things. It's nice to know what happened in history. And you know why? Because you see why we like to know history, because we are servants. It's not a matter of interest only. that we want to dig points, and it's not a point phenomena, isn't it, that we want to prepare a lecture and we want to bring points. The point is, the real point is that we want to know history because so that we should not make the same mistakes in future. That's the whole point. And that's the importance of history, by the way. Especially history in theology, in spiritual circles. That's why people who don't know the history of Sampradaya, the history of our movement, what exactly happened, or maybe the history of ISKCON, they will be liable to commit the same mistakes again and again, again and again, again and again. And it will be very difficult to actually achieve spiritual perfection, because we are practicing spirituality in this world. And there are practical concerns in this world. This world is all about, this world is not a simple place. It's not a Vaikuntha that we can chant and we can do things. It's a very confusing world. And it's full of illusions. It's full of our own problems, our own temptations. And we will repeat the history we don't understand. That's why I like to discuss the historical aspect as well as the philosophical aspect, so that we all become very mature, so that later we can guide people properly. Otherwise, we will guide people wrongly. This is a preaching moment, isn't it? So the same mistake we'll do then again. So that's why I like to discuss like this. It might seem a little complex and deep, but it'll help all of us in future, slowly and steadily. That's what I feel. Anyway, there's no question.
Thank you. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you for a wonderful class. Your classes are always so wonderful. And yes, thank you for all the historical points, because it helps put things into context and helps, at least for me, it helps me understand kind of how we got to where we are now in this movement, and why we do certain things in certain ways. And that's, to me, that's very important to know. So I'm greatly appreciative of that, and always appreciative of your classes. So thank you.
Thank you for that. So I think there's Tiffany Mataji, isn't it?
Yes.
Probably. Yeah, okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, yeah. Okay, great. Okay, so yeah, I think.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, who is this?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very, very nice.
Lalitangi Mataji. Oh, I hear you after so long.
so many new points and nice points.
Yeah.
You're able to hear me, Prabhu?
Yeah, I can hear. Speak on. I can hear.
Okay. So, Prabhuji, how is it that, you know, such a pure philosophy and revelation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, it is so much, topsy-turvied in the next generations, and almost it went into obscurity. If not for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a single link. It feels like that from the lecture, that if not for him, there wouldn't have been this turning point. So I'm wondering, is there any cause for this, that we don't want this to happen again?
Yeah, actually, it's a very good question, because Gaudiya Vaishnav Samaj, I don't know, you see, Gaudiya Vaishnav Samaj, it has gone into there were three dark periods in our history, Gaudiya Vaishnav history. So let's call it as dark age, as modern people call it. There were three dark ages, and Gaudiya Vaishnav, or let's say Gaudiya Vaishnav history, Samaj, has actually three dips, 1, 2, and 3. So, and all the three points, we actually required great powerful acharyas to again lift it up. The first dark age came after Goswamis left. All the Goswamis left, and there was a big dark age, and people were fighting Nityananda Parivar, Advaita Parivar, everybody was fighting like cats and dogs, I explained once. And at that time, we required a great personality, and that great personality was Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamananda Pandit. These three people came to revive back our Gaudiya Vaishnava Samaj. But then after them, almost immediately after them, again there was a big dip, and it was a dark age. Everything became messed up, especially not in Bengal, but in Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan, things, because Narottam Srinivas and Shyamananda Pandit, they came to Bengal. Bengal, it was, they handled it, but then there was a dip in Vrindavan, dark age. So there we required the great Acharya Vishwanathan Baldev Vidyabhushan. And they picked it up. But then after them, after Baldev Vidyabhushan, again everything got finished. You know, in Vrindavan and Bengal, everything got destroyed. Everything. It got messed up, as I explained. It was such a calamity that even books were not available. Everybody forgot Vrindavan, everybody forgot Sanskrit. Nobody knew Sanskrit. I mean, people became rogues and thieves, and it was such a useless period, and nobody could understand anything. At that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to actually pick this up, this dip. He picked it up single-handedly hit it. It's in spite of being a family man, so cumbersome. He had two marriages, and he had no father. He had to support his whole family. He had 10 children. His wife's name was Bhagwati Devi, who was second wife. He had to earn money. He has to actually do magistrate job. He has to write letters. He has to solve political things. He has to write books. He actually did something which is actually not even superhuman. It is beyond superhuman. You see, how can a person write 200 books? You can imagine. So I write books, and I can't even. So I've written how many books I've written? I've written just maybe eight, nine books I have written. And in that books, I've gone mad in. And those books are not even close to what Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote. He wrote 200 books, and he used to chant 1 lakh names daily. How he did, nobody knows how he did. What I mean to say, he was eating some superfoods or what? I don't know. So that he stopped sleeping, or what happened to him? His brain was functioning 100%. You know, some software was there. God knows. Anyway, we know his eternal associate. He's Gadadhar Pandit himself. So he's blessed by Mahaprabhu. But the whole point is, your question is, why these dark ages come? That's the question. Why these dark ages? What happens, you know? And so quickly, especially in our Sampradaya. If you go in other Vaishnava Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya, Ramanuja Sampradaya, there are very few dark ages. Very few. There are very few dips, and that too after a span of 200, 300 years. But you see Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Mahaprabhu came 500 years back, and then there was a dip after 100 years. Goswami's left, and then there was a dip again after 150 years, and then there was a dip again after 100 years. You see, what's this? It seems crazy, but it happened. Now the question is why? So that doesn't happen again. Or is it happening again? We have to see what's happening around us. Maybe it's happening again. But to identify that's your question. Why that happened? We understand why that happened. We can understand what's happening in future, and we can prevent it. So why it happened? There were few reasons for that, if we analyze everything. One of the reasons was actually One big reason was actually sense gratification. Especially when Bhaktivinoda Thakur came, it became all dark. This was because of introduction of modern civilization, Britishers and all this. So when modern civilization that it entered India, people lost traditional values. People stop reading Sanskrit, isn't it? Britishers brought this, you should learn English and all this. And then at time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there were this Brahmo Samaj and all these. They were saying, oh, we should be modern, and we should be in suit and boot. India is decultured, de-advanced. These Britishers were actually mistranslating Vedas, Max Muller and all these people. People were thinking, but we are actually aborigines, isn't it? All these kind of useless ideas were there. Indians are dogs. Britishers convinced us. No culture. They don't live properly. They are so unclean. All these things. So because of this modernity, influence of modernity, it became really messed up. Why? Because people forgot Sanskrit, so people couldn't read Goswami's books. Britishers introduced modern education. And modern education means there's no philosophy, there's no Nyaya, there's no Visheshika, there's nothing, there's no Gurukul system. Modern education means maths, chemistry, bio. And people could understand the scriptures of Acharyas. They didn't have entrance because they didn't have tools to understand. They didn't have tools to understand such sandarbhas and all these complex stuff. You should know Nyaya, you should know Vaisheshika, you should know Sankhya, you should know some rules of Sanskrit, Shiksha, Kalvyakaran, so that you can enter into that subject matter. Without tools, how can you enter that? So because of that, people couldn't understand anything, it got left up. Britishers were encouraging sense gratification. Alright? Britishers were encouraging parties, and they were like, televisions, all those things were there. Of course, it was for aristocratic people. But there was this whole mood of sense gratification, women, wine, becoming modern. So you see the point there. This whole Western culture, the entrance of Western culture in India, in our Vedic civilization, that brought a big dark age. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to revive it. That's why one of the goal of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was to write in English. Because it's English, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood that this modern civilization is a cause of downfall of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Modern education is a cause of downfall of our Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And he wanted to introduce English so that in English he wanted to introduce philosophical concepts. So that future modern generation can have access to all these works of Goswamis in English. And that's what happened, isn't it? Today we are reading in English. It's all Bhaktivinoda Thakur's foundation work. So that's one big cause. And that's why we want to prevent Gaudiya Vaishnavism to fall down again in that dark age. We have to actually not accept Western culture, modern civilization, the values of modern civilization. We have to fight against it. We have to bring back again traditional values. Otherwise, it will be very difficult to bring back again things in streamline. It might happen again. Because you see, after some time, even the English we are reading, it might change. English has changed within the last 50, 60 years. So English might become Hinglish, isn't it? Already, people are losing much of vocabulary in English. And even in their native language, it's all becoming hodgepodge. So then people will not even be able to understand what's happening in this English books. So then people will not be able to understand philosophy properly. And it's that's happening now, I mean to say, isn't it? So Prabhupada is using the word transcendental. How many people understand the word transcendental? It's very foreign to all of us in present modern world, transcendental. What's transcendental? It takes a lot of time to understand what's transcendental. So all the Prabhupada explained, transcendental means beyond modes. But we don't have a feeling of that word because that's what is not there in our culture. So things are going down because civilization is connected to culture. Culture is connected to language. It's all interconnected. So that's why Prabhupada says, bring Varnashram back. That's why Prabhupada understood. I forgot to tell you. One of the contributions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was to introduce Varnashram. It's not Prabhupada. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written Chaitanya Shikshamrit, where there are big chapters devoted to Varnashram. Why Varnashram has to be introduced. And one of the reasons which Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes Varnashram has to be introduced, and he says there, the cause of fall down of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is modern civilization, modern education, the values of modern civilization and modern education. So if we imbibe that, then there'll be problems. That's why he wanted to bring Varnashram. So that's one of the cause. Okay, another cause. So this is about the third dip, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So what about the first dip after Goswamis? Goswamis left, again there was a dark age. And Narottam and Jiva Goswami and Srinivas, they had to come to pick it up. What happened that time? At that time, actually, there were many upper sampradayas. Many people came. You see, Mahaprabhu's philosophy is very esoteric. You know this. It's very esoteric. It's very mystic. Our philosophy is mystic philosophy. We talk about spiritual world. We talk about Krishna. We talk about gopis. We talk about dancing. We talk about becoming females. What about this? This is crazy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Mahaprabhu came to actually womanize the soul. What about that? It's crazy. It's a height of mysticism. And then on the top of that, Prabhupada writes, we're talking about spiritual sex. What about that? That for many people around the world, for 99% people, religious people, this thing will be simply disgusting if we tell that there's spiritual sex. It will be disgusting. They might actually not be able to digest it. But that's there. But that's there in mystic traditions. So it is said Christ alluded to this spiritual sex and womanization in Bible. Some mystic sects of Christianity speak like that. But it's very hidden. But Mahaprabhu gave openly. Mahaprabhu gave it. Okay, this is this. Manjari bhav, gopi bhav. You can become female in spiritual world. And this and all that. And now this thing is liable to gross misinterpretations. That's why this was kept secret. It was never revealed. And that's why it is said, Namo Mahavadanyaya. Mahaprabhu revealed such a thing which should not be revealed actually to conditioned souls. But nevertheless, he did. Krishna Kaviraja Swami writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I don't want to write all these things because it should not be revealed. It will become very harmful. But nevertheless, we are revealing. Mahaprabhu was commanded to reveal because there are some good souls who will actually understand this and go back to spiritual world and invite this lofty goal, let's put it like that. So because this is very mystical and liable to misinterpretation, it got misinterpreted. Many upper sampradayas came, they misinterpreted it. And why they misinterpreted it? Because they didn't understand philosophy. They were very lazy to understand philosophy. They saw Mahaprabhu's movement externally. This is happening. He's singing, so is Gauragnagari. He's saying Gopi Bhav, so Sakhi Beki. They were so lazy to understand philosophy. And that's why Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, writes in, he warns us, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Siddhant Bolya Chitte Na Kara Alas. Iya Lage Krishna. Iya Lage Krishna Pade Sudhira Manas. So Krishna Kaviraj Goswami writes, don't be lazy in understanding philosophy. Because if you don't understand philosophy, you will again fall down into that historical dark age, which actually responsible, the first dip, which were actually responsible for many upper sampradayas. And so again, if it happens, again, if in future, if in a moment, if we don't emphasize on philosophy, I mean to say, it should both emphasizations should be there. It should be kirtans and philosophy. It should be a package. But if we don't emphasize on philosophy, if we make it very light and okay, just kirtans and be happy and parties and prasadam, then again we will have that problem which happened in dark age. And again there will be upper sampradayas. Not now, not 50 years, not 100 years, but after 200 years it will come. We will not be there. But we will be responsible for those things in future. And we will have to suffer. So that's the cause of first dip. The lack of understanding of philosophy. The cause of third dip when Bhaktivinoda Thakur came, that was the introduction of values of modern civilization. And the cause of the second dip after Narottam Das Thakur, after Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas and Jiva Goswami and Shyamanand Pandit. So when Vishwanath and Baldev came in Vrindavan, the cause of second dark age was actually lack of devotees. There were no devotees who actually understood the philosophy. Philosophy was there. There were no devotees. Vrindavan was empty. Because when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur went to Vrindavan, at that time Vrindavan was full of dacoits, it was a jungle. Radhakund was a small place, there were some Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that too, they were on the brink of, they didn't have food, they were just doing their bhajan lying down. So at that time what happened was, There was no devotees in Vrindavan. People left Vrindavan. They were dacoits. Out of fear of dacoits, people left Vrindavan. So Vishwanath Thakur played a very important, he was very courageous. People wanted to kill him. They were so evil people. But he stayed there. He established Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And the cause of, and he identified the problem. The problem with Vrindavan was there was no people who understood, who carried this pure philosophy. So we not only have to preach philosophy, but we have to create people. It's not just a matter of writing books and giving lectures. It's a matter of creating a gentry, a species, let me put it like that, whose goal is pure and who has a pure understanding. And that, if we can create this, if we can handle these three areas, if we don't allow values of modern civilization to enter our Gaudiya Vaishnava Samaj, to enter our devotee's life, and we can establish Varnashram. Varnashram is not just farmhouse. It's not to do with huts, and that's the external part. Varnashram is all about inculcating back traditional values. And we can, at the same time, we can preach philosophy and inculcate philosophical mood. And the third is we have to create devotees who actually imbibe this and live this philosophy. Then we'll be able to seal these dark ages, and we can prevent again dipping that dip in a Gaudiya Vaishnava Samaj. Otherwise, it's going to come within 100, 200 years. Nobody can stop it. I mean, to say Goswamis couldn't stop it. It came. Narottam Das Thakur couldn't stop it. It came. Now, who are we? Who can we stop? especially the pace of Kali Yuga, how it's proceeding, what's happening with Kali Yuga. It's going to come very soon. And that's why Prabhupada said, boil down the milk, boil down the milk, boil down the milk. Prabhupada, just after 11 years of ISKCON establishing, he could see the downfall of modern age. He could see how modern world is declining so fast. He said, now boil down the milk. Don't play. Otherwise, again, this will be destroyed. And it will be destroyed internally, Prabhupada said. If anything can destroy our ISKCON, our institution, our devotees, it will be internal force, not external force. But we take care of these three areas, then perhaps we can stop this death, and in future it will be beneficial for all of us. We can do some service for future generations. Oh, I think, is that I gave a lecture on this.
Yeah, this was so extensive and so much research has gone into this, Prabhuji. Very, very nice points. Wonderful, Prabhuji. I have to hear it again. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you for asking this question. It's a very important question, by the way. Very important.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Do you have time, Prabhuji?
Was that?
Do you have time, Prabhuji?
Yeah, fine, no problem.
Hari Prabhu, please go ahead, Prabhuji, with your question.
Yes. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam.
Yes.
Prabhuji, so we know that there is a Swarupa of every Acharyas. So we in the Krishna consciousness, our aim to get love of the Godhead. So get love of the Godhead and Swarupa Uplabdhi, is it the same thing? When we get the prema of the Krishna, then our
when we get the prema, then our swarup will be revealed.
That means there is a symptoms of the prema, that our swarup already awakened in our heart.
When we get prema, our swarup will be revealed. That's all. So it's not that if we get prema, so we will not know our swarup. That is what prema is. If we get love of God, we will know who we are. So it's almost like, so when the sun rises, then all darkness is over. And then you can see, so if it is dark, you can't see even your own hand. Am I right? In dark, you can't see your hand. You can't see yourself, even your hands and legs, if it's pitch dark. So if you want to see yourself, then you need sunlight. So what's sun? Sun is love of God. So when love of God rises in your heart, is light, and then you can see your own hand, your own leg, original leg and original hand, your spiritual legs, spiritual hands, and that is spiritual form. So that's how it's connected.
Thank you.
So it's not that So it's not that first your Swarupa will be revealed and then you get love of God. It's not like that. That is a philosophy of Sahijyas. First we will get love of God and then our Swarupa will be revealed. And this example Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives in the book Sharanagati. First the sun of love of God will rise in our heart. And then we will be able to see ourselves. If there's no love of God, there's no sun, there's no question of seeing your own Swarupa, because you can't see yourself in darkness. But that's Sahijyas say. First Swarupa, then love of God. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, no. First love of God and then Swarupa. Actually, first love of God, then you know Krishna, and then you know yourself, your connection with Krishna and your own Swarupa. That's how it happens. This is all explained in Sharanagati, last song. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this. And Bhakti Sandha used to often quote the last song of Sharanagati, which is actually, the song goes like, was that Krishna Naam Dhare Kato Bol? That's the first line of that song. You can search on that. Krishna Naam Dhare Kato Bol. That's a very nice song. Sharanagati, last song. Sharanagati book, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's last song. Very nice song. You can read that and then you can see what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Okay, so like that, yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Question in chat, Prabhuji, from Sachin Prabhu.
Yes.
My question is how to handle the problem of forgetting things that we are part and parcel of God. Although we hear it many times, either subtle or gross body keeps interfering every time. How to avoid this?
Well, the first point is we can't avoid it. We are so heavily contaminated. It's almost impossible to avoid. So the first point is be patient and don't think that you can avoid it in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. It will take time. It will take at least 20, 30 years to actually avoid distractions of mind and all these anarthas. It will take. So the point is, my first point is we should not be under our own imaginations. We should have a realistic picture how much time it's going to take. Otherwise, if we don't understand, then we'll get frustrated. Am I right? We'll think, okay, we are practicing since 8 years. Nothing is happening. Still I have lust. Still my mind is going, what's happening? This procedure is wrong. No, then we are imagining. So just like when we do some PhD program, then we know that PhD program, it will take around 5 to 8 years. And then we study. So similarly, when we do this spiritual program, then we know it will take around 25 to 30 years to actually get free of, relatively free of distractions and this, all these things. So yeah, be patient. First thing is this. But nevertheless, be enthusiastic. That's utsaha nishchit hai. And the second thing is, but still we should have some solution, isn't it? Otherwise we'll go mad. So the solution is chanting holy names. That's all. There's no special or extra thing. Chanting holy names will give you strength. Will make the soul strong. So actually, Srila Prabhupada says one of his conversation. Prabhupada says Maya is pulling you one way, and chanting is pulling you other way. Prabhupada says keep on chanting, and chanting will win. Prabhupada says that, don't leave that. So keep on chanting. But of course, as I explained, now you might say I'm chanting, but still I'm not getting, still my mind is wavering. Patience. By the same time, if you're not feeling that strength in your soul by chanting, then this means there is some lack in your hearing and understanding of philosophy. So then hear properly from proper channel, understand philosophy, and then that chanting will work and give you strength. In the proportion you understand things, in that proportion chanting gives you strength. So that's how we have to work it. And don't get disturbed. It will take time. Don't get disturbed. But chant. Whenever you are disturbed, chant. With the right understanding. So that's why read Prabhupada books. Read Prabhupada books and that will give you Prabhupada books deeply scrutinizingly, Prabhupada says, read my book scrutinizingly. And then things will proceed like that. Okay, so yeah, that's it. That's how it goes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Sorry, Mataji. Can
yeah,
I?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Prabhuji, is there any email ID where we can ask you if there is anything bothering
you? Yeah, yeah, you can ask me. My email ID is, I don't know, somebody can type or I don't know how to type on this, but it is keshavanandas108@gmail.com. I think, Tiffany Mataji, you have my email ID. Can you please type it? keshavanandas108@gmail.com. So it is K-E. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Like this. So anybody wants to ask something, they can ask. If I know something, I'll tell. If I don't know, I'll tell. I don't know. That's all. And then I'll do some research.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhandavat Pranam. I got to know a lot of new things from the class. I have a question, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do we say disappearance days has auspicious or glorious days? Like when we address that, disappearance day has a glorious or auspicious day?
Yeah. It's a nice question. So by the way, who is this?
This is Shiromani Nandrani Devidasi Prabhuji.
From
Krishna Katha Desh. We are from Middle East, Prabhuji.
Oh, Middle East. Okay. Okay, it's a very good question, by the way. By Disappearance Day is an auspicious day. But you see, one thing is, Disappearance Day, at least for us, it's not auspicious. It's a very sad day because they disappear. And they're no longer in this material world. It's very unfortunate for this material world. Because pure devotees disappear. Bhaktivinoda Thakur disappeared. He's no longer there. We are there. We are nonsense people. We are there. We can't help anybody. And they've gone. And we are left like that. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur disappeared, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur became so disappointed, so sad, that he sat in his room in Mayapur. In his Gaudiya Math, he sat in his room for 1 month. He didn't come out. He was so sad. He didn't come out for giving lectures. He was not preaching. He was not doing anything. He was just sitting in chair. And then after 1 month, he came out because he said, well, I have to preach now. Because then he got a vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur after 1 month. Mahaprabhu, Gaurakshwaraji, all of them came and they said, why you're sad? Please continue. We are with you. But he was sad and he said, I was sad because I didn't have any guide. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was my guide and Gaurakshwaraji was my guide. I don't have any guide. And now I will fall down. Who will protect me? Who will warn me? Who will chastise me? I'm at such a risk in this material world. And I'm not there. I'm at risk. So he was disappointed. He was very sad. So if Disappearance Day was auspicious day, why Bhakti Santa would have been sad? Tell me. There's no question of him becoming sad. Or when Prabhupada disappeared, his disciples were very happy about it. It's crazy to think like that. Everybody was weeping and they were so sad. Although in theory we say when acharyas disappear, it's a very auspicious day because they enter eternal pastimes. But practically it's not like that. Practically we should be sad. We should feel their absence from this material world. We should feel their absence from our lives. Now you might say this, so you might say, well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he reasons well who say that Vaishnavas die because Vaishnavas, they live in their words for preaching in the living tribe, whatever that song is. Vaishnavas never die, they live in their words. Yeah, that's true. We associate with Bhaktivinoda Thakur with his books. Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur also had books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He could associate, but then he was feeling the absence of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There's a person and there are his words. So, yeah, we associate with those acharyas through their words, and that's more important. But at the same time, we are also attached to that personality because it's a family. It's our whole Gaudiya Vaishnavism is not impersonal, just based on words. It is a personal philosophy. So Narottam Das Thakur was feeling the absence. Ramchandra Sangha Mange Narottam Das. He was saying, I will enter into fire. Pashane koti go matha. I will die. Why? So it's a very personal philosophy. We are attached to the person. We are attached to Krishna. We are not just attached to his words or Gita. Or we have teachings of Krishna. So okay, fine. That's all. So why do we unhappy? Well, the person is not there. Our whole philosophy is both personal and on words. So this is, in one sense, this is an auspicious day. This is also an inauspicious day. But depends on the perspective. Auspicious day for spiritual mood. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur went there and they might be having a party. Oh, he came back. Such a nice devotee, he came back to us. But it's very inauspicious for people of this world, for people like us. So it is both. So actually, appearance day is very easy to handle. But disappearance day is very difficult to handle. It's very difficult to handle, very difficult to enter the mood of disappearance day. Because even disappearance day, we are just happy, and there's a big problem. There's a big, big, big problem within us. We are happy because they disappeared. Okay, we are just happy. What is this? What is this grace? We don't have any attachment to Bhaktivinoda Thakur or what? So you ask any Prabhupada disciple on Prabhupada disappearance day, are they only becoming happy? Most of them are very sad and they get tears when they offer Vyas Puja. We miss Prabhupada. Because they are attached to Prabhupada. Now what about us? If we are just celebrating and we are happy, oh, today Bhaktivinoda Thakur disappearance is such a nice day and we are so happy, there is something big wrong thing, isn't it? Or Janmashtami day, we are just happy. We celebrate the birthday of Krishna. Well, it's both. We are also unhappy because Krishna disappeared. I'm not saying this. Jiva Goswami says that. Jiva Goswami says in Gopal Champu that Janmashtami, the day of Janmashtami, but Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami has written a book. I forgot that name. So has written a book on a summary of Bhagavatam. No. So, Sanatana Goswami has written entire Bhagavatam in shlokas. He has written that. I forgot the name. Anyway, so Sanatana Goswami wrote the book, and that book Sanatana Goswami writes that actually Krishna disappeared from this material world 5,000 years ago, and now what should we do? We are such a calamity. We missed those pastimes, what Krishna did in his material world. And we are simply shattered. And Jiva Goswami also writes that in Gopal Champu. So Janmashtami is a day of disappearance of, actually, sorry, appearance of Krishna. At the same time, we miss him because we know he disappeared. So in that sense, even appearance day also we have mixed feelings, happiness and distress. We have a mixed feeling. It's not just happiness. Otherwise, we are actually having some problem. We are not attached to the person. So disappearance day is actually much, much problematic because disappearance day we have a strong memory that they disappeared today from our lives. And we are still rotting around this material world. And all the jivas are so unfortunate. But anyway, they have gone to spiritual world. So it's both auspicious and inauspicious in that sense. It's so both sad and happiness. Appearance day, appearance is auspicious, but at the same time, because now we know that they have disappeared after appearing. They are not still there. So it's again both sad and happy. So it's a mixed feeling. So your answer to the question is a mixed answer. It's both auspicious and both inauspicious. It depends from which perspective we see. At least from our perspective, it's a very disappointing day for all of us. They are not there. What should we do without them? We have to simply rot. Yeah. There's nobody to help us. There are their words. They are the words of acharyas with us. But can we understand them? That's another thing. Can we imbibe their words? Are we so intelligent? Are we so pure that we can understand the words? We are such a foolish people that even if we try to understand their words, we will misinterpret and we will not be able to understand. That's our tragedy. So their words will all also be able to help us completely if we don't have proper guidance. That's one thing. If guidance, then, but still that sadness is there in our heart. And actually we don't feel sad on the disappearance day of acharyas, and even on the appearance day, there is a deep problem that we are not attached. So if a mother is there, and the mother says, okay, today was my child's birthday. My child was there, but he died. He's no longer there. So whenever the birthday of that child comes, so you tell me, mother will be happy or sad? Tell me. So you answer me. So whenever that appearance, that the birthday of that child will come, of that mother who has actually left this material world, so maybe died in an accident or something, will she be happy or will she be sad? Tell me. What's the feeling?
Sad,
isn't it? She'll be more sad rather than happy. Although it's a birthday. Because he's not there. Because she's attached. So if we are not sad on disappearance and appearance day, there's a big problem. We are not attached to the person. We might be taking the instructions and teachings, but we are not attached to the personality. So we have entered an impersonal philosophy. It's sort of impersonalism and sort of Mayavadism. So if you want to extend impersonalism into Mayavadism, it is no longer Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Now Gaudiya Vaishnavism is highly personal philosophy. There's no philosophy in this material world which is so personalistic, which is so personalistic. Like there's a word personalistic. Let's put it in there. So you see the point there? That's how this thing. So whenever disappearance day comes, it's very difficult day. You know, it's I can't handle in my mind because we are not attached. What's happening? You know, here we are going to celebrate this disappearance. Why we are celebrating? I don't know. What's happening? You know, we are supposed to be unhappy, but we are becoming happy. It's very confusing day. Very confusing, at least for me. But this is how things should be. All right?
Thank you, Prabhuji, for such an elaborate and wonderful answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for valuable time and association with us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gadadhara Pandita. Thank you, Prabhuji. We look forward for your association again in the future, Prabhuji. Thank you. Devotees, let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the work.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Prabhu. Hare Krishna.